Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, everysite.com, the coolest new technology around. RunCatalina.com, Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 19th. Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. Our next guest from Lumo Body Tech, Mr. Mark Massler, is now Vice President of Marketing and Partnerships, and we go back a lot of years. I watched Mark at the 1985, I don't even know if it was Foot Locker back then, Mark, I think it was Kinney Cross Country National Championships, where you took second place here in beautiful San Diego. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thanks for having me on. You're right, it was Kinney, and it was 1985, so a lifetime ago.
14:41, you're just a few seconds behind Ruben Reyna. I think those times are fast even compared to what they're running now. But more importantly, your twin brother was back in ninth place, so you definitely dominated.
Exactly. You know, I think another San Diego native, Mark Davis,
was eighth.
I think he's second on the list, and I think I'm third. So Mark had a good run down there as well.
Yeah, he definitely did. Hey, and so, but you were not a runner growing up. You guys were swimmers before that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like a lot, I guess, of athletes. I mean, I'm sure you know Alan Webb. I mean, Alan Webb broke 4 minutes for the mile in high school, but he grew up as a swimmer as well. He's transitioned, obviously, a little bit into triathlon and the kind of Olympic distance type stuff. But yeah, we were swimmers and passionate about the sport of swimming.
And what moved you, I think it was after your freshman year of high school, that you and Eric decided to go and run track and run cross country?
Yeah, we were just looking for something to do in the fall, and we heard a little bit, people talked about our cross country coach and how great he was, and we just wanted to participate in something, and we just started running freshman year, and then I swam in the spring, and then turned around and ran cross country sophomore year in fall, and had a great season, and switched to track and running full time after that. So I kind of dropped swimming. Besides summers competitively, I dropped it after freshman year.
You know, and what I love is we talked about this before. A lot of times, coaches tend to burn their kids out in high school and college by running them too much. Obviously, you guys were star runners, but it sounds like you had the type of coach where less was better, that he didn't push you to double at meets even when you might have wanted to. He preserved you guys for the long run.
Yeah, he definitely did, and he was very attuned to, you know, each of the runners on the team and how they were recovering, Bob. And, you know, and he created really custom, you know, programs for each individual athlete, which takes a lot of time and dedication and effort. But he was unique in that way, I think.
And then he kept you running in terms of mileage. He kept it fairly reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think I probably averaged, you know, during the heavy seasons, maybe 50 or 55 miles at the most. So
that's great.
You know, which isn't really a lot by today's standards, but yeah, it's, that was about what we did.
And that's why it kept you in the sport, and why you had so much success. At 86, number one, the U.S. at 1600 meters, 404, number two at 3200 meters. Then you go off to Stanford, become an All-American. You go to the Olympic trials at 92. Talk a little bit about college years. And more importantly, when you're done with college and you've done the Olympic trials and all that, I mean, at some point you're thinking, okay, do I do this for another 4 years? Because now I lose that cocoon of support that I've got from college, right? Place to live and everything else. Now I've got to sort of do it on my own. How hard was that coming from Stanford to think, can I get there till 96?
Yeah, so it was, you know, to be honest with you, Bob, it was a big transition going to college. I was in a program that had a coach who, his name was Brooks Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a well-known coach in the community, but he, you know, I think he, you know, just in all honesty and candor, he was probably more of a sprint coach than a distance coach. And I think, you know, Brooks didn't take the time, obviously, that Coach Lang did in high school to kind of customize workouts. It was very, and everyone kind of did the same workout. And I didn't, you know, unfortunately didn't respond as well. It took me a couple of years before I finally even PR'd from my high school days. So then finally I got in the groove and started running better and ran 3:41 for 1500. But it was a big transition. And then post-collegiately, as you know, it's didn't make the Olympic team and, you know, needed to really get a job and start working again. So luckily, you know, I'd been sponsored by Reebok and, you know, Reebok gave me an opportunity to work for them. And I went back to Boston where I headed up eventually sports marketing for running track and field and triathlon. And that's, you know, where I kind of started meeting you and Kona and really hanging out with you more.
And from early on, you were a big supporter of triathlon because there was sort of a little bit of running ego where runners and triathletes are sort of generalists. They're sort of half decent swimmers, bikers, and runners. But then there's, you know, runners are the real athletes. But you were one of those guys early on who believed in that sport, that sport was special and could change lives.
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess a lot of my triathlon knowledge, you know, came from John Duke. I mean, John was a triathlon consultant to Reebok, and he was, you know, really, really good at identifying talent. And John kind of brought me, you know, Greg Welsh and Makili Jones and
Peter
some
Reed.
Of the greats.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right. So some of the greats at the time, and it was great. So he gave me that exposure to the sport of triathlon, and, you know, I went to a lot of races, and it's not hard to fall in love and become passionate about, you know, about the sport of triathlon once you see it. I mean, you just get a deeper appreciation for how good those athletes actually are. I mean, I was talking, you know, and I know we'll get to this, but I was talking to Mark Allen just today about, you know, he's still from 1989, Bob, and you and I talked about this before, you know, the 2:40.04 from 1989. I mean, just, you know, it's just staggering, basically, to think about. So how do you not appreciate how tough those men and women are? It's just, it's amazing.
Well, and if you think about it, I think the transition time was included in there. So he
exactly.
And Dave probably were, but Dave was probably at 2:40 and Mark was probably at 2:39.
It's so funny you say that. That's exactly what he told me today. He's like, that now that doesn't happen anymore, but it did include the transition time. So he said he did break 2:40, obviously.
And the only one ever to do that, which is still unbelievable considering that was back in 1989. So over the years, you Reebok, Nike, NBA, Wrigley, you go, you know, major jobs with major companies. What did you learn from each that helped you as you moved through your career?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, you know, I learned a few things. I mean, one of the key things, I think, is, you know, and they say this a lot at Nike, but it's like, you know, the consumer decides. And I think, you know, a lot of companies, they either build products or they develop technologies, and they do it in a vacuum without listening to what a consumer really wants. So, you know, it's really important to listen to the consumer and think about them as the, you know, ultimately the end user and buyer of your product. So the consumer, you know, decides. I think secondly, you know, at Nike, it was really about storytelling. I mean, Nike is one of the best brands in the world about telling the brand story, talking about, you know, Bowerman and the waffle iron and Steve Prefontaine and all of that. So storytelling for brands, I think, is really, really important. And then lastly, you know, I call it kind of, you know, delight the consumer. But it's like giving them unexpected things, giving them something special that makes them feel unique and loved and understood is really, really important, too.
And the last year or so, last couple of years, you've been with Hoka. Sales were up 300%. When you first saw, you're a running purist. So when you first saw these things that look like, oh, my God, am I on stilts here? Here's this shoe with this big foam on the bottom. And did you have any idea? Because at that time, everybody's minimalist. I run barefoot. I ran with nothing on my feet. And then here's the Maximus, just the opposite. Did you have a sense that this thing was going to catch fire like it did?
You know, I'd be lying if I said that I did. I mean, I got a pair from Hoka back in the early days, like, you know, probably 5 years ago. And frankly, I left them in my closet. I mean, I thought like everyone else, these are clown shoes. And my God, they're just so radically different. So it wasn't until they started kind of courting me in talking to me about kind of coming in to head up, you know, all of marketing, that I started wearing the shoes, and that's when I really fell in love with them. So, you know, it's kind of, to wear anything else now, Bob, feels really weird to me, because I actually like that well-cushioned, and some describe it as a dead, you know, running experience. That, to me, is kind of, I can't wear shoes that have, you know, less cushioning than that now.
And then recently, you've tipped the VP of Marketing Partnerships for Lumo Body Tech and Lumo Run, which is a sensor technology that teaches you to run more efficiently. What was the drive? Because you were with a winner. Yeah, you're with Hoka, and then you're going,
yeah,
I'm going to make this move because I see something special in this Lumo product.
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple things, to be honest with you, Bob. I kind of went through some personal changes in my life, ended up getting divorced, actually, and, you know, so I needed a lifestyle change, so I actually took, I was working in the Bay Area, I've got a place up in Bend, Oregon, so I took about 8 months off and totally unplugged and spent as much time as I could with my kids to get them through the transition, and the Lumo thing just kind of came quickly. I mean, I started looking again, and the opportunity popped up, and you know, they brought me on board, and it's an exciting, I mean, it's still in the same space, it's the, you know, the running space, but it's, you know, it's in wearable tech, and as, you know, most people know, wearable tech, whether it be Fitbit or whatever for companies, it's kind of a hot space right now, so it's fun to be, you know, in the running world, and it's fun to be working in the technology sector.
And what did you find when you took the product out yourself? Were you surprised at what you learned from it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what it really is, it's a sensor device that just clips onto your shorts.
Right.
And it measures things like stride rate, stride length, bounce, pelvic tilt, pelvic rotation, all these interesting things that, you know, that people probably don't even know much about. I think if anyone knows about them, it's probably triathletes, because they tend to be, you know, more well-educated than runners and more kind of tech-oriented. You get real-time coaching, so you can bring your iPhone with you and get real-time coaching advice. Or if you don't want to bring your phone and get that, you can actually just come back and the information just downloads wirelessly to your laptop and gives you kind of a feedback and coaching tips on how to become a better, more efficient, healthier runner.
When I think of equivalent, I look at cycling and a power meter, right? You want to know what your power is, what your wattage is. This is how do you run more efficiently? How do you improve your performance? How do you reduce the risk of injury through pelvic tilt and all of that? Is that apples to apples a little bit with power meter and Lumo?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And that's kind of one of the observations that Mark Allen had when he came up to visit us in Palo Alto. We got to take these complex things like pelvic tilt and rotation, I think, and simplify them for people and give them digestible, easy understand content. But I mean, I think, you know, what I say, Bob, is there's really no perfect running form, but we know there's bad running form, and you've seen bad runners out there, and you know, so we just want people to improve, you know, just do slight improvements on their, you know, maybe their cadence or their pelvic tilt. There's certain things you can do just to become a little bit more efficient if you just kind of follow the advice that we're giving you. So it's really cool, and it's got a lot of great value. I can't wait for you to try the product yourself.
And you were just at Running USA, and really great reviews from industry folks on checking out the product. And I know you're signing two awesome athletes to represent the product, and you're going to announce that right here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we have not even done a press release, so you're going to be the first guy you can break this news whenever you want. So, we've obviously, I alluded to Mark Allen, but we've signed Mark Allen to an endorsement agreement, and we also just signed Meredith Kessler.
And
so we're, you know,
that's
it's
cool.
Awesome.
What's great about that is Mark is one of those guys who, you know, if you look at his entire career, he didn't do a lot of racing. It was a lot of years where he would race like 8-10 times. Meredith, on the other hand, is a volume person, right? I think she's done 50 or 60 Ironman races now. So both of them is so important, right? But you've got the opposite ends of the spectrum. You got the guy who's a minimalist when it comes to the amount of racing. And then you've got a woman who races, you know, 10 times, 15 times a year.
Right. No, it's crazy. I know she's on her way on Friday down to New Zealand, where I think she's won, I think, what, four times
or
something like that.
I think she's going for number five or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously, I mean, she's got, you know, Arizona, which she's won twice in a row. She's got a really big schedule this year. I mean, she came in, it's a funny story, Bob. She came in after her win at Arizona last year, 3 days after the race, and to see the Lumo product. So these conversations have been kind of ongoing for a while. And she literally, like, you know, had a hard time, as you know, walking, you know, up the steps and down the steps of our building, which at the time was on the third floor. But she put the sensor on, and I guess from what I've heard from one of our biomechanists, just went out for a run and just hammered it. I mean, had no problem. Like, her stride was perfect, her cadence, everything was just spot on when she couldn't walk. So she's just got this natural running instinct. So we're happy to have her, and we're even happier that, you know, she's up in Puerto Madera, and we're down in Palo Alto, so she's really, really close. She can come in and help us with a lot of product development, too.
Well, and then when you have someone like Mark Allen, who is really one of the most beautiful runners out there in the sport, what type of insight did you get from Mark?
Well, you know, he brought up some of the stuff that you talked about. Immediately his mind went to cycling.
Yeah.
And clearly, you know, obviously he talked about the power, you know, the power stuff you talked about, Bob, but he also talked about how important posture is and pelvic, you know, where your pelvis is positioned on the saddle, how you're leaning, because we can measure, obviously, you know, how far you're leaning, if you're leaning at the right angle. This is a product that, you know, we can easily, we've got to change some algorithms and some things like that, but this product can be, you know, adapted for triathletes and cyclists as well. And, you know, eventually you can guess where the roadmap is going. I mean, hip rotation in golf and the power that you get from your hips is really critical. So there's a lot of applications in other sports for our sensor technology.
And I know the website lumobodytech.com, would you go there for Lumo Run as well?
Yeah, you know, they're all connected. But, yeah, the quickest, if you want to see the Run product in your audience, I'm sure would. Yeah, yeah. LumoRun.com is where you can, you know, see the product and see the science behind it.
So when we were talking earlier, we were talking about the runners and triathletes. And usually if you're coming into the sport of triathlon, you have one sport. You were unique because you swam and ran. But a lot of people come in with one sport and they have to learn the other two. So they're pretty open to new technology, they're open to nutrition, where a lot of times your individual sports guys, your swimmers, your runners, your cyclists are, don't tell me anything, I know it all. Have you found that with the different products you've worked on over the years, that the triathlon community are early adopters to anything and everything?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I mean, they're looking for any type of advantage. Clearly, they spend a lot of money on equipment. A lot of them, I mean, I think the statistic, and you probably know it way better than me, but, you know, maybe 70% of people who have, you know, kind of competed at the Ironman distance have had coaches. I mean, it's a huge percentage compared to runners. So I think they're very, very open to coaching. And ours is not, you know, we're not suggesting you dump your triathlon coach. I mean, if we were, obviously Mark Allen wouldn't work with us. We just think that we're going to have a lot of useful data that Mark can take a look at as he's coaching people and help people become better runners. I mean, Mark, you can't sit there and watch people. You know, he does a lot of online coaching. You know, it's just really, really hard. So our data will be really, you know, great for, for people like Mark to analyze and to help people become better, you know, better runners.
Well, you think about it, that the technology with wattage and power, the coaches use that information. They know exactly how far you rode, exactly how much you climbed, and they can analyze what you did, which helps them design the next workout. And that's now, and before you really sort of went by, I can see how far you ran, I can see how fast you ran, but you know nothing else. Now you're giving people, you're giving these coaches more information to help people, you know, stay healthy and run longer.
Exactly. And we've got some other great advisors. Do you know Matt Dixon, Bob?
Oh, Purple Patch, one of the best coaches around.
Yeah, exactly. So he's on our advisory board as well. And, you know, he's given us a lot of great insights. So he's well known, obviously, in the triathlon community. I, frankly, have not met him personally.
Phenomenal guy.
But we've got some solid people that are, really helping us build out this kind of rich coaching experience that we think is going to be interesting to, you know, to triathletes and runners alike.
Love it. Hey, Mark, again, thank you so much for taking time. And I appreciate the fact that you've announced that Mark Allen, six-time Ironman world champion, Ironman Hall of Famer, is now part of Lumo Run, as well as Meredith Kessler, who actually last year was our Tripalooza Female Triathlete of the Year. So that is really, really cool stuff. And obviously, this is just the beginning.
It sure is. And, hey, we're proud to be on your show, obviously, and really, you know, happy to make the announcement with you. You're, you know, so ingrained in the triathlon community and have the respect of so many people, Bob. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on the show with you.
Love it. Mark Masselier has been our guest. We are brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes or Babbittville. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.